Coming up, we're going to discuss Helen Mirren being joined with the cast of Fast 8 coming up next summer. Live from the Bob Varley studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of The Diz Unplugged. This is episode 90 of The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hey everyone, welcome to today's Universal Edition podcast. Unless you're not listening to it today, then it's some other days. I am your host, Craig Williams, and today joining with me is always, as always, not is always.
It's always.
Well, he is always and as always. It's a slouching, it looks like.
I don't know what happened.
Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Hello.
It's the cushion in the chair in the middle is going in this chair, so I'm sitting on the edge of wood. So,
yep, you just got to get the cushion to stop.
Stop that sliding.
Yes. Also,
not pushing.
On the back on the controls, our engineer of the day and our hearts.
I'm engineering your heart.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, Craig, you're too kind.
I dug myself in too deep to walk out of it. So, Oliver Green.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, so this is going to be a very fun episode, I think. My opinion. It doesn't have to be. We'll see what happens here. But no, I was just making one of my classic awful jokes that fall flat at the beginning. We are not talking about Helen Mirren today. I am very excited that she's joining the cast of Fast 8.
Oh yeah, I they would have been fools not to cast her when she as soon as she said that she wanted to be like out there driving those cars. If I was in that studio, I would have been like, get her on the phone right now, lock her in.
Yeah, no, that is exciting.
Isn't Charlize Theron
she's the villain in this one.
Yeah, so yeah. What a crazy amount of people, like, good for them joining in, just having fun in their life, you know.
Yeah,
I might have to pick back up and start watching these movies again, because I told you I've only seen 2 and 6.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I've seen 1, but I can't remember.
Got to see 7.
Yeah. I think I've got to watch 5 at least to kind of get where it started.
It's your prerogative.
Doing the heist.
That's whatever you want to do. But
Bobby Brown over there.
Today we are going to be talking about Volcano Bay, the Universal's third theme park. Yes, the third one. We're going to be discussing that. The big thing we do have for you is our dining review of Three Broomsticks at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Hogsmeade. Of course, the British pub style food that we have our expert Brit in the room to tell us how authentic it actually is. So that's going to be exciting. But yeah, we're going to do Volcano Bay just a little bit, have a little discush on everything that's happening with that right before. But as always, I have to open it up to housekeeping before we get started. Housekeeping.
It's not really housekeeping, but did you see, I don't know if I ended up sending it to you, that they made a Lewis pop vinyl?
I did.
I don't know if that was just commissioned.
No, it wasn't.
Like a fan made it was, or was it Pop Vinyl made it?
Some guy in Colorado made it.
Oh, he made it.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're able to buy, like, Vinylmations.
The blank ones.
You're able
right?
to buy the blank ones, and he took it upon himself to do it. I heard some mixed opinions on it.
Oh, really? I mean, I thought it was cool looking. I mean, I don't know him, and so I didn't know if that was a thing he liked or what the deal was.
I don't know. This is all secondhand information, but I heard that the people who knew him best were very upset that they chose to portray him on that.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh.
Which I kind of understand. Like,
Like I said, I didn't know him. I didn't know if that was a thing. I saw it and immediately thought, oh, he must have really liked pop vinyls or something. That's all I could think about. Like, because if he doesn't, then it gets a little weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just somebody who made a doll.
All I would say is that if someone went out their way to make this, they didn't go out their way like with malice to do this. So if people are upset, they, like, you know, It is. Like, maybe they'd want him to be remembered in a different way because they knew him personally, but that you've got to remember when this person decided to go out their way and create that. They didn't go out there with the intention of upsetting anyone.
No, there's lots of politics that go around to it, and even, you know, well, there's even religious aspects to it that, you know, there are... I don't want to speak for the Latin community because I don't know enough about them, but I do know from friends that I do have is that they are very religious, and doing something like this is kind of like creating an idol.
Okay, I see.
So yeah. There's implications on that level. Definitely a touching gesture. Another sign of how far reached out.
It's interesting. Like, I've been going to the memorials every day, and they just keep getting bigger and bigger, but there's a lot of interesting things that people are leaving there. You know that, I don't know if either of you have gone, but I'm just going to share the story anyways, but that, like, IKEA donated a white couch when they left markers everywhere, so people, I don't know if the significance is supposed to be because there was, like, the white room in the club is all I could think of. Either way, it was a nice... It's just covered in signatures and stuff like that. And then somebody else donated this big piece of art with wood on the back, and it has shelves for people to write stuff on it and everything. And it just keeps going crazy, which, you know, so it's like what you said. It's interesting to see how far it reached and how people react in that way. But
no, it's just positive.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's nice to hear happy news.
And I don't think we talked about it last week, so I'm glad that this train of thought went there, is that that Universal did donate money as well. I think it happened while we were doing the show.
It did. Yeah, it happened. So Universal joined the One Orlando Fund and also donated $1 million to it, which is just incredible. And, you know, Kylie's been sharing some information with me about, like, stuff, how they've been talking about everything behind the scenes. Just said that management at Universal has been going out of their way to make sure that everyone is in the best spirits possible that they can be, and that they all come together as a team. So really, that's Universal nice. Yeah. is just
treating people with a lot of respect. I mean, they held that vigil that was very nice too. That was just for the team members and the family and stuff, right? Like, affected, and it was. I saw some photos from that, and that was really nice.
Yeah, they did. They released one of the photos of it. It was absolutely beautiful. They gave everyone the blinking, the colored wristbands.
Oh, nice.
So that way, whenever they were all there together, it really showed the sea of people that it's still tragic. But yeah, we are starting to find some positivity as the dust is starting to settle. And it was like, not to get too far off topic, I know, but today I did drive past Pulse in that area for the first time since the road's been opened back up again. And it was just, it's so weird. There's a lot of memorials and tributes left out front. Like I told you before we started, cops just constantly all around it guarding everything because it is still an active crime scene. But it's just, it was very weird to be able to drive past it again after all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just thought that was worth...
No, it absolutely was. Thank you. But Oliver, any housekeeping for you?
No, nothing off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's great. What's about normal? Yeah, exactly. No, I've just got one more item of housekeeping, too, to mention. Nothing groundbreaking or anything. We've been getting... I've been getting it into our email. We've gotten a couple more questions asking about JL. I think some people did miss the show.
I think they just missed that part of the show. Because it happened at the end or whatever. Like, right?
Well, it was in the beginning and then at the end. But JL is no longer with the Diz, anything a part of it. She is off doing a new endeavor. And it's not that we're being secretive about it. We're not allowed to say what she's doing. Only she is allowed to talk about it just because of the job that she does have. So she is still available to find on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere out there. So if you want to keep more up to date with what she's still doing, she is she's happy to still communicate and interact with everyone who's come to know her along the way. We'd love to say what she's doing. We're just not allowed. There are some jobs out there where you have to be secretive about what you're doing, and that's where we have to leave it at that. So I know there's a lot of interest.
Just wish her a lot of love in Mother Russia. Yes, you're making it out like she's a James Bond. Yeah.
If you've what was that awful movie with like John Candy and Dan Aykroyd where like Soviet or that was
Die Hard?
No. I'll think of it.
Don't look at me. I've not got a clue.
With John Candy?
It wasn't John Candy.
Yeah, I was just going to say. I don't.
Someone else will know it. It was a, like something like Spies Like Us or something. I hope.
Who was in it again? Who did you just say?
I think Dan Aykroyd was part of it. It might have been Martin Short, too. Or not Martin Short, Steve Martin. They were like Russian. They were spies that were in Russia.
The Three Amigos?
Yes, the Three Amigos. Someone in the chat, let us know as soon as this catches up and we see it. But, okay, no other housekeeping. Let's talk about what I want to talk about, because it is Spies Like Us, thank goodness. now it's come pouring in.
It's not a universal show if we don't get off track by trying to figure out what a movie is.
Exactly. I can... Please, Chevy Chase. Oh, gosh, how could I be so wrong? I mean, I named every 80s comedian, essentially. Sorry, Volcano Bay. Big, big, big news on it. So this past week, the U.S. Travel Association has been doing their IPW conference. That was in New Orleans, I believe. And it's just travel places from all around the world have come together at this conference to kind of show off what they do. And Universal was a player there. With they had a booth, and they had a nice little press event where they kind of talked about some of the upcoming things. Of course, they kind of, for the Hollywood side, I don't want to get too much into that because that's not what we're here for, but they were hyping up that there was going to be all these big announcements regarding Hollywood. And basically they ended up saying like, oh yeah, we're going to continue to update City Walk, something that they've been trying to do out there. And their the movie theater is getting a new design. And then they released the brand new Universal logo that they're putting out there that is getting used also, I believe, for our Universal Studios in Florida as well, too.
Do we have a photo of that?
Sorry, I didn't pull, because I couldn't find an official one that had the logo for Florida. But I did see on Twitter, I believe, today, someone posted that the signage was starting to be added into the parks as well, too. So it won't take long until it is out there and around. But on the Universal Florida side, the Universal Orlando, gosh, we were having a conversation before the show where I had to yell at Rhino and Oliver because they were calling it Universal Florida instead of Universal Orlando.
Universal Studios Florida is what I referred to it as.
We don't call it Universal Florida, and we don't call it Universal Studios Orlando.
We call it Universal Studios Florida, Universal Orlando Resort.
We get it right, or we don't get it at all.
Get it right or pay the price.
Yeah.
That's from... Eat your shorts. Salute your shorts. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, okay. So, Volcano Bay, they finally gave out the deets on that. And then the next day after that, the Universal Orlando official blog kind of came in and gave even more information on it. So, there's a lot to go along with it. So, we knew where Volcano Bay was going before, just south of Cabana Bay Beach Resort. We've been seeing the structure go up for some time, the actual volcano in the middle, which if you watched me yesterday on the Daily Fix, you will know that I said Krakatau over and over again. That is because it was spelled Krakatau, which I assumed that was going to be Krakatau because that's how I would phonetically say it out. Someone pointed out to me in the comments that that's actually the Indonesian way of spelling Krakatoa, which, of course, I know Krakatoa. If you know me, I'm at Trader Sam's in Disneyland and Walt Disney World as often as I possibly can with money. So I very well know what and how to say Krakatoa. I just was confused by Indonesian spelling because, well, last time I checked, I'm not from Indonesia, believe it or not.
That surprises me.
It surprises me, too. So... Volcano Bay, we now know it'll be 28 acres. Wow.
Ooh.
28. That's a very small number.
I was going to say...
Oliver's like sitting in the back trying to do math.
Can
you convert it to meters?
Yeah. Can we like compare that to something? I'm not good with the acreage. I never understood it.
28 acres is 113,312 square meters.
Oh, great. Ooh. That's good for the British person over there.
That's it's big, Rhino. It's, that's all you need to know. It's big.
I'm just like, how many football Ish. Fields is that? Is that like what? What's the average house built on? A half an acre? An acre? In Florida, I think it's like 0 acres.
So just to point this out to you, Disney World is 25,000 acres, which equates to 40 square miles.
Jeez Louise.
So there you go. That's as good as I'm giving it to you in terms of acreage. It's really tiny. It's really, really tiny. I'll just say that. Oh, Beats behind us in the back.
There's a conscience on his shoulder right here.
Blah, 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 blah. Yes.
I thought that was your phone for a second.
So like, did oh. I. I was very confused.
I thought someone was tapping on the window because I can't hear with the headphones on that well. So I got very scared for us all very, very quickly.
Very scary, though. So the way Universal's describing Volcano Bay, it's a lush tropical oasis that unfolds before you, instantly transporting you to the little-known Pacific Isle. In the distance, a colossal volcano rises above a sparkling beach, boasting majestic waterfalls by day and blazing lava by night.
Blazing. I can't wait to see what that's going to look like at night. Because you know, I mean, well, we live here, but when you take that exit, that Sand Lake exit off of I-4, when you're going I-4 west, you're just coming right up and you can see into the entire like park that they're building.
Oh, it's absolutely stunning. And, you know, while I still live in that area, I need to keep doing it. But I did a construction update on it a couple weeks ago where I actually walked as close as I could get to it and tried to get some video of it. And I went up on the parking deck of Cabana Bay and kind of looked down over to get a bird's eye view on it. And it is coming together so quickly. And it's nice now because right now it just looks like a bunch of bare slides, all wide open, just dirt mounds.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't
structure.
Look overly impressive.
No,
yet.
Not at all.
But you can tell right now because I went over it last night or the night before and I was like, oh, that's where they're going to put the, you know, that's the wave pool area. Like, that's where they're putting the cement down for that.
Yeah, but now that we're actually seeing the concept art that they put out there in the promotional video where you see just how dense and lush this area is going to be. And we'll have all these photos in the show notes as well as the link to the article that we have up about it. One thing I'm very excited about, tangent, is we get in this picture that's currently up for those who are watching, sorry, listeners out there, you can actually see Cabana Bay's third tower in there. Okay. And it's nice and rounded. And that really excites me because I didn't know what style they were going to build that in. And it looks very promising. But yeah, I think the fact that it is going to be bare open slides, something that's very, you know, Disney with their slides, they do the best to like put rock work around it, really make it blend in at Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach. So it was a little off-putting seeing it like this. However, now that I can see all the trees and stuff going up around it, once it all grows in, I think it really is going to just bring it all together. But one thing for sure is, although they are calling this the third theme park, it is a water park.
Yeah,
in every sense of the word.
Can I just say as well, I got an email from Universal the other day, and the way it was worded, like the title, it said like three amazing theme parks. I got so excited. When I read that, I thought that they just like dropped the third gate. I was like, this is it. This is it. No, it's just the water park.
Well, what's the rumor on that? Did you...
What?
You didn't just say it, right? Why they're saying... Why they're calling it a theme park?
Oh, yeah, no. It's kind of out there. Everyone's starting to put it together. They're really pushing it as the third theme park. They're calling it the immersive water theme park, calling it the third gate because it isn't this isn't going again on the land that they just purchased.
Yeah,
this is on south of Cabana Bay, not over on the International Drive side. So what's going to happen now is as soon as they are done opening this and they get ready to open that next park that will be down the road, all of a sudden they now can say that's our fourth gate coming in. And if you do the math, right now Disney says that they have four parks, plus two water parks in at
so they have like
Walt Disney World
pass,
Resort,
you know what I mean?
And yeah, so they have the four park pass, and so now Universal is saying by adding that theme park in, they're also going to be able to say we have four parks. We have just as many as Disney does. So I don't know if that'll push Disney to go. We have six parks. Then if you want to go with that lingo, then the battle's back, but.
I'm hoping that they include that Universal includes the water park in just in the main the main pass?
They will. They're going to be offering a new type of ticket called the Explorer ticket. It's going to be a 3-park pass. So you can do...
So will that be like above what we have right now? Because we have the top...
Well, you're talking... Pass. Yeah, it'll... I'm sure it'll be added in our annual pass.
Yeah.
You're
talking about like a guest...
No, a new guest ticket. Yeah. For our annual passes, it'll probably be in ours, maybe the preferred,
yeah,
with some blockout dates. And then I'm sure for the base pass, it'll probably just be the regular 2 parks. I don't know. They haven't said anything about it. This is just my speculation. But it will absolutely be in the annual passes. They're adding the new Explorer ticket. That will be the 3-park hopper pass. And then I'm sure you can still do the 2-park hopper pass between the other two. And not hopper. That's Disney lingo. But so ingrained in our brains, it's hard to not say it. And then they'll have their single park admission tickets as always. But let's get into the nitty gritty, what this park is actually about. So it's going to have 4 lands with a total of 18 attractions. All but one has been disclosed so far. Wow. So the first land, and this is all according to Universal's official blog, so I'm not making any of this stuff up. This is all their lingo and their wording. Universal says Krakatoa, not Krakatau. Mm-hmm. Sorry again. At the heart of the park, you'll see the 200-foot volcano called Krakatoa. By day, you'll see its majestic waterfalls, and by night, the volcano will illuminate with blazing lava. So here's where we already have the first. I know I said that line kind of before in a different way, but we already know that this will be a night and day park because we'll be able to see this volcano at night.
See, I would love that because in the dead of the heat, even though it's a water park, in the summer here, you are always... Sometimes it's just too hot, and the water gets hot. But like going at night would be awesome.
Correct me if I'm wrong. All Disney water parks close at dusk, right?
Yeah.
Even
in summer, it's like 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I can't remember ever being at a Disney water park at night, and I didn't know if it was just because my family never wanted to do it.
No, I've had friends who have come down in the last couple of years, and they did the water park, and I want to say I was like, oh, I'll go join them. And then I went to go, and it was like 3:30, and I was like, it's not worth it because it closes too early.
I could be totally down for a nighttime water park because that way, A, my delicate ginger skin won't burn in the hot day sun. And then also, the fact that it's dark outside will hide how ashamed I am of my beer belly.
Well, it'll be, I have the opposite reaction when I go to water parks. I always think, God, I look so much better than most of these people. I feel good about myself. Like, I always tell people, anybody with self-esteem issues, go to a Disney water park. And I don't even mean that in a mean way. Like, admire the people's courage that they have to show off the body and think you, and chances are, those people who are that courageous, they don't have a body as nice as yours. Not that I have a nice body. Just
all I can say as a lifeguard, the number one thing I took away from a lifeguard is people dress for the body they want, not the body they've got.
Wow. Well, this body shaming has been brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel.
We're all beautiful. You're all beautiful. Wear what makes you comfortable, no matter what.
Okay. So inside Krakatoa, first thing we're going to find are 3 distinctive body slides that will be at the rear of the volcano, and each starts off with surprise doors that drop out from beneath you, which...
Oh, oh, wow. So it's like push the button and like,
exactly.
You're then in Mr. Burns' office and just like...
Yeah. And this has become a big thing all of a sudden now with these slides. I still haven't done one. Whenever we were on the press cruise for the Magic, that's what they added on the side of their ship, a drop down and swirl around off the side of the boat.
Oh, I didn't know it dropped you like that.
Yeah, it dropped you like that. I never got to do it on there. I forgot to bring a bathing suit. As embarrassing enough as that is.
Why didn't you just buy one on the ship?
Because they're so overpriced.
Oh my gosh. But to go in a clear slide that goes out of your ship and back in.
And then the worst part is we had our podcast cruise later on that ship, and I didn't go swimming a single time while we were on that one.
Oh,
but
wow.
I'm stupid like that. But anyways, the first one is the Ko'okiri Body Plunge, a racing 70-degree drop that will plummet 125 feet through the center of Krakatoa. It will be the world's first slide to travel through a pool filled with guests. So what that makes me think is that there's going to be like the tube for the slide is going through a pool. If it was like a glass one,
yeah,
would you be able to see the people going through? That could be like really cool.
Don't have claustrophobia, but that would be like kind of amazing.
That would be absolutely awesome.
I think it would just be like Aquatica. They do something very similar, but just with dolphins. So you go through a clear tube. It'll be identical, but instead of dolphins, it'll be people.
But people. That's what I'm assuming. Like, I mean, that's What if people are doing weird stuff under the water? That's where it gets weird.
Well, you're normally going that fast, you can't tell. So, but I'm sure Rhino will try and stop himself to have a look. So,
I'll be grabbing the tube as I go.
Slow, sir.
But you know what? Okay, so on that note, I sometimes do get nervous in closed tube water slides. Only because of the Simpsons episode where Homer gets stuck in the water slide. So I always have paranoia that I'm going to get caught in the middle of the water slide.
Kids will be butting up against you in the slide. Traffic delay.
Or in like the way, way back where they have to like throw three kids down the water slide to knock it loose.
Okay, so we also have the Kala and Tanui Serpentine body slides. It'll be two intertwining slides where you'll fall freely along 124 twisting feet. Also in Krakatoa will be...
intertwined?
Yeah.
So it must be a tube drop.
I don't know yet.
Interesting, because that's kind of like, you know, I've done the once, the... What's that big one at Typhoon Lagoon where you go way up and the summit plummet? Is that it?
Summit plummets at Blizzard Beach.
Well, the one that when you were at the top of Lights, Motors, Action, you could see it out in the thing. That one, that's super tall. I did that once. And it's just an open slide where you drop down. But I'm wondering if now, since they're saying intertwined, if it's two people go at once and you go around maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Either way, sorry.
There will also be Punja or Punga Racers, a high-speed race through four different enclosed slides featuring mantis-shaped mats. Ooh, like a manta ray.
Oh,
it's fun. Buzz. And then also in Krakatoa will be the secret attraction. This is the one that they're not talking about yet. And this is where some are speculating that this won't be an actual, this won't be a water park slide. This will be something that is like a more attraction based. So that way, this is where they're getting away calling it a water theme park, because you got all the slides, but then there's something else. But they're being very secretive about it. I haven't heard anything about it either, so I wish. And if there's anyone knows any of the rumors, I'd love to hear it. I won't believe it until it's out there. Next area, the next land, is Wave Village, located at the base of Krakatoa. Wave Village is a perfect place to soak in the sun and relax on the sandy shores. It includes Waturi Beach, a sparkling multi-directional wave pool where you can swim, relax on the sand, or indulge in a private one- or two-story cabanas. Two-story cabana? Shut the front door on that.
Two?
Well, you can't. Cabanas are usually open.
Yeah, I think that defeats the purpose of the cabana. But
and then you also have the reef.
Do you get to keep the story? I'm wondering if it's like... You don't get both floors, though.
You only get to keep one story. No, you'll probably be able to get two. So you'll be able to have a big friend party.
That's cool.
Yeah. If you have enough friends, you can get a two-story cabana.
I've got at least three.
Oh, you know, I can all
that. Are you just counting us two?
Yeah.
And yourself? Is that your three friends?
I can absolutely tell you, I do not have friends. Well, so I will not be able to fill them up in this one. We'll also have the reef and adjacent leisure pool with calmer waters and exciting views of riders speeding through the Ko-Akiri body plunge. So this is, okay, this is the pool where you can be relaxing and you'll see people going through.
So
there we go. We now know it's the reef. I should have read this before we talked about it. I put this in the story and I didn't read it. I'm awful.
I'm very excited for this.
We also have before, but... we have River Village. River Village offers several family-friendly attractions and experiences and features Kopiko Y Winding River, a gentle winding river that passes through the volcano's hidden caves, featuring spontaneous water effects and a journey through the Cave of Starlight. Ooh. They have the Totiki Reef, a whimsical toddler play area with spraying Maori fountains, slides, and a kid-sized volcano. Runamuka Reef, a three-story water playground inspired by the coral reef overflowing with twisting slides, sprinklers, and more. Honu, an adventurous multi-passenger raft ride that will soar across a dual wall. And Ika Moana.
Oh, those are one of those scary ones that do the...
Yeah.
The up and the down.
Yep. Yeah. And Ika Moana, a twisting multi-passenger raft ride that will glide across bubbling geysers. So you'll feel some bubbling under your butt.
Like you're farting in the water.
Yep. Absolutely. And wrapping it up... will be Rainforest Village. Rainforest Village features an incredible assortment of attractions for thrill seekers, including Maku, North America's first saucer ride, sending multi-passenger rafts speeding around three saucer-shaped curves. Interesting. Puihi, a breathtaking multi-passenger raft ride that will plunge you into darkness before bursting into a funnel and launching into a zero-gravity drop.
What?
Scary.
One's going to make my heart go up real quick.
This is a punny name here. The Oh Yeah and Oh No drop slides. Two twisting, adrenaline-pumping slides that launch you 4 or 6 feet above water at the end.
I'm assuming that's similar to like Crush and Gushers, like
yeah,
shoot you
I would
up,
assume. But, yeah.
which is an incredible thing. If you've never done those, it is insane how that ride works because you plummet down and then you're like, I can't get back up there. I'm on a water slide and it shoots you up.
We also have the Tiawa, the Fearless River, an action-packed racing torrent river where you'll have to hang tight in your inner tube amidst roaring whitewater rapids. The Taniwa Tubes, 4 unique Easter Island-inspired slides with rafts for single or double riders, and the Puka'uli Lagoon, a tranquil pool where you can swim and relax. So
that's a lot going on there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. A lot of it sounds really fun and exciting. Definitely a water park for thrill seekers from the way they're kind of pushing out, but also still extremely family friendly. Their family offerings they have here are quite a lot, I've got to say.
The kid area sounds pretty good. Yeah.
And, you know, the one cool thing about it, too, is that they said one thing they realize at water parks are a lot of times these lines take so long to get people through that they are finding the ways to optimize to make sure that these will all be very short waits as possible. I know one thing there that I've heard is that they made a new type of inner tube delivery system for these tube rides where instead of having to like carry tubes up or anything like that, apparently it'll just, they have like a, almost like an elevator. I know you see at some water parks where they have like the really long one where they throw a tube on and it slowly goes up. One thing I read from some site, I apologize that I can't credit them for it because I just don't remember and I didn't write it down, but they're talking about literally like a tube that goes straight up. And
like a tubes will tube?
kind of like that, a big one for tubes to go up. I don't know if that was true or just like complete BS, but that would be incredible.
My number one thing is I'm hoping they'll keep in mind about how shade is extra important at water parks because nobody's wearing the clothes, and so you're just out in the Florida sun. It doesn't take very long for sun that hasn't, like if you look at my arm from waiting and frozen, for those of you that can see, I clearly, it looks like I have a Frankenstein arm.
You just want to show your tattoo.
No, you can't tell what it is that far away, but this will burn in like 10 seconds. So I'm hoping lots of foliage, lots of coverage would be nice because that's my issue with the Disney water parks is as cool as everything is at those parks, so don't get me wrong, I like them both. It a lot of those things are like on stairs in the sun and my feet burn on the ground, let alone my skin.
I wasn't joking. I have delicate ginger skin. I can't get burnt. So I will appreciate it if there is shade. This is someplace I've said it before. I don't want to even go see Wet n' Wild because I really do not like water parks. I used to whenever I was younger and then it's just something that kind of it grew out of me. I don't like the idea. I know they chlorinate and they keep everything clean, but I, you know, it's I'm getting like very in Howard Hughes-ish as I grow up. I'm afraid of people peeing on me
with a long fingernail.
So
excuse me.
This one I will give it a shot, not just because it's Universal, but because it genuinely does sound amazing from everything that's been out there so far. So time will tell. New details will come out. So any final thoughts on Volcano Bay and what it sounds like?
No, I'm very excited. When is that opening again?
They're predicting, based on someone released from that event, that the Explorer ticket will be available starting June 1st, 2017. Okay. So I know before they were saying that they were hoping for a winter launch date or a spring of 2017.
2016? Oh, well, okay.
I think it, well, winter 26, yeah, it wasn't winter 2016. I can't remember. I think it was spring, now that I think about it, 2017.
No, I thought we talked about it, and we thought it was weird that it opened in, like, a cold month.
Either way, they're now saying that it should be opening June 1st, 2017.
All right,
that
so
is the
like
expected date.
Less
so
than a year to go.
I'm very pumped for it, so.
We should go to do Wet n' Wild before it closes, but wait till it's, like, November.
We will, yeah.
So once it's nice and cool. and maybe we could go like morning and then evening, so we, the chances of sunburn will be slimmer and slimmer.
With a real rainy day.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And a bushy beard.
A great big bushy beard.
Okay, so let's get on to our dining review of Three Broomsticks. Now, I said one of the greatest things about now having Oliver on our team is that we do get the experience and knowledge of a Brit. And the
and it is terrible.
And it is terrible for the most part. But whenever we do talk about stuff that pretends to be British, it does help us out. So we are going to talk about that. But we have a little bit of a video that, it was on there. It was on there, Oliver. Gosh.
Wait.
Fallen engineer.
Fill the space. Engineer.
Well, there was a fire recently.
Yeah, so the Three Broomsticks is obviously nothing new.
Let's skip that fire talk.
Yeah, we're going to skip the fire talk. Three Broomsticks is not new by any means. However, we have not reviewed it on this show yet. We talk a lot about it because we always say, like, if you're going to Islands of Adventure and you're gonna eat at a quick service place, you want to go there because, in our opinion, it's still the best out of the rest. Yeah. But we might have a different opinion on it now. But before we do it, we're going to show this little video for everyone watching right now so they can see it. For everyone listening, it is available at Diz YouTube, which is youtube.com/WDWinfo. So let's take it away.
No. The horns. They got. You think those are Testrel?
Yeah, that's a beaver horn.
Beaver horn.
Yeah.
Agatha Beaverhorn, that's my pen name from now on for when I write mystery novels.
Oh, wait, we're back. Oh okay. Well, so that was a little bit of a look at Three Broomsticks there at Islands of Adventure, The Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Hogsmeade. So, this opened up in the great year 2010.
Mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
2010 for some people out there. And this was the only quick service option available inside the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Hogsmeade, and remains to be this day. However, it kind of revolutionized, from what I've been told, dining at Universal, quick service style, before this time. I've eaten at a lot of places. I've eaten at the quick service in Jurassic Park, Toon Lagoon, Seuss Landing. It's pretty much all crap.
I think the only one nicely. I haven't eaten at is Toon Lagoon. Pretty sure. No, you know what? I don't think I've eaten the Marvel one either because it's so...
Cafe 4.
It's just cafe. So it's just like not a place that speaks to you. I understand that everything's cafe.
Yeah. I can't eat there now because one of Teresa's offspring works there, so I just don't trust it anymore. It's been dead forever on me now. So, so Three Broomsticks really did up the level of dining quick service style at Universal, and you can see it because since then they have just tried to up everything new that comes in. Of course, the fast food boulevard inside Springfield that we rave about every single time we get to talk about it and eat there, as well as Leaky Cauldron.
I actually have a vlog from that too that I just realized I never put up. So
okay, well,
I
got one of those.
Do you know where that footage is?
Yeah, it's on my cell phone.
Still on my phone.
Okay.
There we go. So we'll have to get that up. Maybe we'll have try to get that up for next week while I'm not here and we don't have a show going up.
Okay, that's
we'll give
a
them a little
idea.
Taste.
There you go. Yeah.
A little taste of what's happening while we're gone. Where was I at with that? So let's talk.
You said that we rave about the Simpsons.
Yeah, we rave about everything. This was the start of where food started to get good, and not only that, but also we have to mention the immersion of being inside Three Broomsticks. Just a beautiful, beautiful building. You know, their take on Three Broomsticks from the movie. It's very dark, very woody. Very, very old style pubbish. I mean, this is where wizards and witches want to go whenever they need to crave their thirst for butterbeer or grab a nice hearty meal.
It feels like it's been around for a while, and it's a well sat in pub.
Exactly. Then, of course, Harry Potter music blasting throughout the restaurant the entire time. Just just keeps that mood elevated in there. The just nice theming and decor around. Lots of hidden like broomsticks hanging all around. Can't go wrong with having a cauldron in there. I just can't say enough for the actual theming inside this restaurant. I love sitting in there. That's why a lot of times whenever I'm looking for a drink, I will go to the Hogshead Pub, which is connected onto Three Broomsticks, get it, and then try to get a seat where I can see into Three Broomsticks. Whenever it's really busy, they don't allow you to go and take your drinks over and sit in the restaurant. They want to keep it sectioned off so that way people who are dining have open seating available. But it's nice to get that view where you can still see into the restaurant. It's just a beautiful use of space, the final frontier.
This is my 50.
So clearly I love the inside. Let's get into the food though, and let's throw it over to our British expert right away. Before we talk about our food items,
right here for you. Oh, you meant Oliver? Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll let Rhino talk first. Actually, he's more British than you are.
Oh, I have nothing to say to that. Go on, Rhino. You go on.
Oh no, I was kidding. I'm just.
Oh, you were joking.
I was tumping over here.
Okay.
So let's start with your overall opinions, and then we'll get into the food items that we tried and our opinions on that. So,
but first question.
Yes, Rhino.
Are you a Harry Potter fan?
I am. Yes.
How big of a fan?
I've seen the films, not read all the books. I read the first book, but that's because as a child I was probably less than average in school. So you know, it improved as I got older.
So was Harry.
Yeah, and so
there you go. Exactly. And I'm sure I could give myself a scar on my forehead. We'd be identical.
He did try to listen to the audiobooks, but unfortunately his spelling is just as bad as his listening.
Yep.
So, or backwards, listening bad as it's all fine.
He's just terrible all around. We love you.
Oh, Rhino. Yeah, so just before we move on to the food and everything, I've got to say the actual architecture is accurate. We do love those dark woods, and it's pretty much spot on a lot of the buildings and architecture that you do see in England. It's got a very churchy feel inside, I'd say.
Churchy?
Yeah, that's how our church... 'cause over here in Florida, you don't see... I've never been in a church in Florida, but you don't see woods like this. So that darker wood that you see there, and the way it warps almost because it's been there for so long, it's honestly, it's spot on. It reminds me so much of English architecture. It's unbelievable. They've not done anything here that's remotely distant from what I would expect to see.
So you've actually been in places that have looked like this?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay, that blows my mind.
Yeah. Village halls. I grew up in a village in England, and village halls and churches, they would always look just like this with dark wood and... those kinds of chairs, the tables,
did you
the
find
worn
that
fill.
Places that looked like this were more of a reliable place to go than somewhere that looked trendy and newer?
Okay, so just to clarify, like, we do have new... this is, like, older buildings. So, like, when you say it's...
Yeah, but, I mean, do you trust the pub more because it's in an establishment like that, is what I'm saying. Like, were you like, oh, this must be a good place. It's been
in here. Is
this
the type of place you would expect to find, like, those old stereotypical British men that have, like, the mush mouth?
The windows are all warped with the bubbles so the wives can't see in.
They'd have the big mustaches and a pint of... alcoholic beverage. Yeah. It wouldn't quite have a handle on there, but no. This is what a lot of traditional English pubs look like. Okay. They really do. So it's the architecture is spot on. It really is. They've got it down to a T.
But people want to go here to eat more than anything else. So is the food spot on?
The food reminded me not so much of pub grub, which is what we call it in England, pub food, but more... like my school dinners. So, and that's not to say it was bad, because I know there's a lot of connotations around school food being, you know,
like
not great.
Oh, it is.
My school
like
food.
Because for us, it was like lunchtime, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just had lunch. It was A or B lunch.
A or B lunch.
Fancy.
What's
you went
A or B?
Such a nice place. It's time for dinner, children.
If you have too many students, you have to break up lunch periods.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have space in the cafeteria.
It's different in Hogwarts, but.
Yeah.
Where you went to school, I assume.
They split us up as well. We were group one and two. I should have really thought about it. But no, the food it's spot on to English school food, which, I don't know, you're in that environment. I know they've aimed for it to look like a pub rather than the cafeteria at Hogwarts.
Yeah, but man, you guys ate much better than we did here in America.
Is English school food good? Because everyone, Americans know, obviously, Michelle Obama and her war against school lunches.
No, and Jamie Oliver from your country, he came here to try and revolutionize, and it... unfortunately, I don't think it went well. And he, because I know you guys had a big food revolution in England.
We
in
did.
The last like 10 years, right?
Yeah, we did. It reminds me more of, okay, so I was a child of the 90s. I feel like we always come back to my age on these shows, but I was born in the 90s, so I went to primary school in the 90s, and this is what the food was like then. As I got older and I went to secondary school or high school, it was different. There was more choices because at that point they could kind of let you choose what you wanted to eat for yourself. So it's less like it then, but when it was chose for you, this was more like my primary school.
You were spoiled in your lunchroom. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm going to tell you what one of our specialties was. They took a bag of Doritos and scooped beef into it and said, here you go, hot lunch.
Are you being serious?
My favorite.
It's called a walking taco.
My favorite school lunch from whenever I was growing up, it was also a taco style, but they took a piece of pita bread, cut it in half, and then opened it up, poured like a mozzarella cheese on the bottom, the taco meat, and then we would just drown it in Doritos and taco sauce.
Man, that one sounds better.
And lettuce, and then it always came with like one orange wedge.
The fruit.
Like, but I'm sure it is crap, but it's like one of those things.
No, the Dorito, the memories Dorito thing, I made it recently because I was like, I want that Dorito thing. I made a nicer version of it because by the time the kids got it at lunch, so they made it in the morning. So when the kids got it at lunch, you got a bag full of kind of reheated meat with soggy Doritos. And they were like, that's acceptable to feed children.
The worst part is once I went to high school, I was like so sad because they did upgrade the food a little bit because they had actual kitchens there as compared to my elementary school. The food was shipped in. But then my mom, she actually worked for a long time at an elementary school. So whenever it was my favorite lunches,
she
would buy them and she would bring them home for me to eat, which was awesome. I love my mom. Oh, it makes me happy. Nostalgia trip.
I wish I had someone on this.
Again, side. Oliver.
Yes.
Is this food good or bad?
Because you're still not
Brit food.
Okay, so I had fish and chips. I did it on purpose because, you know, it's the stereo. Yeah. I've had my fair share of fish and chips and more. It's not the best fish and chips I've ever had, which isn't unsurprising because they're not being served, you know, in England. But they're not the worst. They were... It feels so awkward to describe a place like this, but I would describe it as being adequate. They were adequate.
Have you had a lot of fish and chips in the United States? I'm just curious. Is it like how... Because you're saying... Not the best fish and chips you've ever had. So, like, how much have you had that since you've come here?
The fish and chips you get in Epcot are more accurate as to what you're going to find.
We're in an area not very well known for having good seafood either. I mean, we're in the center of a state, unfortunately. I mean, there's oceans on either side, but we're an hour away from any ocean. I don't know.
Yeah,
I grew up on the water where it was like, here's two lobsters for $10.
If you go to Tampa or Port Canaveral... Like while you're in Orlando, if you drive an hour and a half to the west or an hour to the east, you will automatically find much better seafood. It's amazing how much of a difference 1 hour actually makes. So you think Epcot's more authentic, but is it better?
Yeah, that's
which one would you prefer at the end of the day? Be absolutely honest.
Okay, so I this is how I'd describe it, and I am a little bit strange. So I actually, even though I think that the Epcot one is more like a traditional fish and chips, traditional fish and chips is very heavy. Like it's cooked, it's all cooked in oil and grease, so it sits very heavy on your stomach.
To be like oily,
it is. Yeah. Oh, incredibly. Yeah. If you've had traditional English fish and chips, like you feel full because that oil just sits there in your stomach. It's not as oily over at the Three Broomsticks. So, honestly, I probably prefer theirs.
Oh.
The fish wasn't bad. And the chips were... They were more like an oven fry than a deep fat fry.
They were like the wedges,
so,
right?
They're essentially steak fries.
If only we had a picture of all this stuff for the listening, you're having a good time. But, a visual.
How'd you get magical. That over? Did you just like bring that up?
That's amazing.
Now, did you end up ever using any of the tartare sauce?
I did. I did try some of the tartare sauce. Honestly, you can't go wrong with tartar sauce.
Good. Yeah, I know you didn't use your malt vinegar.
You didn't squeeze your lemon either.
Did I not?
You told me you were going to, and I watched with bated breath the entire time.
I'm quite upset then, because normally I would. I love... citrus, so no, normally I'm straight there. I was just too eager, that's what it was.
Now
the desserts were on the table.
Did use malt vinegar on mine. I had the shepherd's pie that is served with a garden salad, And this was... okay, so if you're watching from the picture, you can see, and to describe it to the listeners out there, the top felt like it was sitting under a heated light too long, to the point that the potatoes on top literally crisp over.
Yeah, like they didn't look like potatoes when you brought it back. It looked like there was bread on top of your thing.
Yeah, and that's how it felt, too. I had to kind of crack through, and then I used malt vinegar on the top of it to kind of get some liquid back into it and soak it up. The meat, everything on the inside of it, it was decent shepherd's pie. I make a pretty good shepherd's pie at home myself, if I do say so myself. This was for like $12 for this. It absolutely wasn't bad at all. I do hate their garden salads that they serve, though. It's basically just iceberg lettuce with a couple vegetables thrown in. And then instead of giving you like a fancy homemade type of dressing to go along with it, vinaigrette, something fun, it's literally just Ken's restaurant dressing. It pisses me off that they do that. It seems like such a cheap way out whenever everything else they strive for it to be a little bit more on the unique side. So mine is, again, I stand with this, and that's my overall opinion of this restaurant, is the shepherd's pie you get here is still better than any of the crap you will find around the rest of the park.
I've got to say as well, like looking at that photo, that is exactly what I was saying when I said it reminds me of a British school
dinner.
That looks exactly like it. Apart from, you know what it is,
but it's not quite cooked.
Yeah, you know it's going to be good. Yeah. You know it's going to taste good, but it just doesn't look that appealing. that's pretty much it. So, yeah, and one thing that did annoy me, I've got to say, is the Ken's sauce. Yeah. That's a brand we just don't get. So they make the effort on other things to get in the English brand.
So
I feel like they could do it.
It's not even an English, like, it's not something you carry?
No, we don't carry that specific brand. That's all. It just doesn't feel right. Like they've made the effort with other stuff. Why they can't do it with?
I would have rather
salad
had
dressing.
Like HP sauce sitting on the table that I could have put on the salad.
They have HP sauce in the other one.
They do.
In Diagon Alley.
They do.
The cauldron.
Well, Rhino, you had definitely the most British of the items that we all chose from at this one. So do you want to talk about that?
Yes. I went with the chicken and ribs platter. I don't normally eat ribs, but I went for it because they serve this both as just a chicken platter and a ribs platter. But it is the chicken one is my go-to meal here anyways. I like it because it's like you get a half, I don't know, is that a half chicken or is that just a breast? I don't know.
That was like
a little leg.
I think it's a whole.
It was like a quarter chicken, I would say.
Yeah, and then the roasted potatoes, and you get the corn on the cob, and I don't know. That's just like not a meal I would expect to eat in a theme park, really. You think hot dogs, hamburgers, chicken nuggets, stuff like that. Like, it's very underfried, but I always really enjoy those potatoes a lot. You can't go wrong there. The chicken is good. Chicken's cooked well, and I actually thought the ribs were actually pretty good. Like I said, I don't really like meat on the bone. So I'm not an expert on ribs, but I can tell like they're good, but they're also, you know, I know I'm at a theme park. It's not like, oh, these are the best ribs I've ever had. You know, I think that goes to Morimoto in Disney Springs.
Yeah, those are pretty good. No, it's, I wish that Three Broomsticks would be more like Leaky Cauldron and that it tried to go more adventurous with the British fare it tries to serve. This is definitely on the Americanized end of things.
But it's like what you said. Like, the meal's not very expensive. I think that was like $12.99, $12.50,
somewhere around there.
It's not much. They do annual pass holder discounts in there, too. And one of my favorite things is
yours was $15.
Mine was $15 because it was the two platter together.
It was
like
a lot.
The chicken one's a normal. Yeah, it was a lot of food. Like, I was very full. Like,
Chicken one's 11 typically.
Yeah, so that's the one I normally get. And then, you know, pass holder discount. So it's like, it'll come out to like, you know, it's $10 or $11 for that meal, and versus like the almost $10 cheeseburger and fries you're going to get. Like, I'd rather have that. That looks like it's going to be more sustenance for me for the day versus the other meal. And then on top of that, what I really like in the restaurant too is you can go in and get, you know, your standard issue, your butterbeer. Drink. They don't serve soda in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, so you can get like some pear ciders. It's non-alcoholic. But the drink of choice, pumpkin fizz.
Yes.
It's carbonated pumpkin juice, but it is so good. And what I like is like you can't really get it anywhere else. You can only get it inside of that restaurant. And I don't know. That's cool. Like, because I'll buy a bottle of pumpkin juice and keep it in my refrigerator and have like one sip a day for like a week or two. When I first didn't have an annual pass, I remember getting like one and just like afraid to drink it because I liked it so much. I didn't want it to be gone. And now I have an alcoholic beverage I know how to make with the pumpkin juice. So I always like to buy at least a bottle or two when I go.
Yeah, I really I got a cold butter beer whenever we ate here. I just have to get it every time. I love cold butter beer. Yeah. It tastes so delicious. And Oliver did have the pumpkin juice.
I did, yeah. I got the flat
pumpkin
version.
Pumpkin juice.
Yeah.
So, I had the pumpkin fizz.
So it was, I think it was very similar to yours, Rhino. It just wasn't carbonated. And it tasted really good.
Yeah,
I was so impressed.
And that's, I kind of told you after. Of course, if you get it inside Three Broomsticks, Leaky Cauldron, and Hogshead Pub, they do it on tap instead of, you can buy it out of the bottle, as Rhino described. It's much sweeter if you get it on tap.
You can see the stuff in the bottom of the bottle. Like the spices and everything have been sitting in there.
It's much less potent. I think more people end up enjoying it. So, yeah, that leads us into the dessert. We did the absolutely incredible potted butterbeer.
Yes. Yet another way that you can have butterbeer that I was not aware of, but am so happy exists in the world. So right now you can get, like Craig said, you got the cold butterbeer. He likes
six types.
I like the frozen type of butterbeer. Then they introduced the hot type, which is great. I mean, that one might be my favorite, but because we live in Florida, it's only like 2 months of the year that you can even bear to drink it. But then there's the fudge they added when they opened the sweet shop. Mm-hmm. That's super good. There's the soft serve ice cream, also good. And then this little
potted. Pot of amazing flavors.
It's oh my gosh.
Possibly the best thing I had to eat the whole day. It was outstanding.
It's so simple, too. It's just a simple little dessert. It's just that little, it's basically like butterbeer pudding inside of a little mason jar
and
with
that was
whipped cream. And it's, but it's just like, it feels like you have it. It's like what you described in the little vlog we did.
Yeah.
As you know, it's a good dessert because... No? Okay.
I'll finish it all.
When the second you can taste it and you know it's not good for you, that's how you know it's a good dessert.
Oh, I did say that. I remember now. Yeah. But I'd say that's my biggest complaint. Look how small it is.
I wanted
it to be about five times as big.
It's also not the most butterbeerish of the butterbeer items.
Yeah, a little more subtle on the flavor.
But excellent dessert. We also did try the trifle. This was not as big of a hit on our table. It was a chocolate-style trifle. No peas, no beef in it.
Yeah, just not the traditional English one.
Yeah, not the traditional English. Trifle, just some jam chocolate pieces. I didn't like this.
I didn't like it.
It looks impressive.
Yeah. I would say you in this area you want to get, and that's the other thing too. It's just a plain dessert. You're in the Wizarding World. Get something that you can't get anywhere else. You can. I mean, I can make a better trifle than. I'll make a good trifle, but excuse me. But
I think go on.
No, so they have an exclusive ice cream over there too. It's like their strawberry and peanut butter, like Ben and Jerry's makes a special flavor just for them. Or I think it's Ben and Jerry's. And there's like three flavors, but I believe the strawberry and peanut butter one is just for the Wizarding World or something like that. Well, at least that's what they told me when it opened. That might not be true anymore, but there's that. Get Harry Potter stuff. Don't be a loser.
Well, I think they've included this because, honestly, trifle is like such a staple of the English dessert, or pudding, as we say.
Do you just call it pudding?
Yeah, pudding. Pudding isn't like those pudding cups. Pudding is dessert in England. That's what we call it.
Is your traditional trifle usually chocolate, or is it fruit and vanilla?
Our traditional trifle is like what we ate. It's very similar to that, except it's heavily, like, it depends who's making it. Like, if
the
it's
one I
someone
make
in
a pumpkin gingerbread trifle.
It's normally got a lot of alcohol in it if you make it yourself.
I just don't like chocolate and strawberries together. It's a combination I don't get for it. That's why I tried to church it up in the vlog that will also be released of our experience actually sitting there eating. I tried to say it in a nice way of saying this is something good for people who like chocolate and strawberries together.
Yeah, he was being positive.
That's not me, though. I don't get it. But overall, the price of our meal after we each got a specialty drink, two desserts, three entrees with our annual pass discount. It was around like $55. I think it was originally $64. So add another family member on there, you're looking at $80-ish.
Well, it's great. So there's an option in there. We didn't really talk about it real quick, but there's
the
feast. Yeah,
the
and I
feast,
did that when I went with a group of people for once. Finally, it was for friends of ours, and they had a kid too. And so you get the big salad to start with.
Yep.
Everybody gets the ribs, the chicken, the potatoes,
corn,
That's it, right? I think.
I believe that's all.
But it all comes. But it's in more than enough for each person in the group. Because at first I was like, oh, it's going to be like exactly like if we got our own separate meals, and it actually worked out to be more than that.
And it's like only $50. So
yeah, it is a good deal because you get your, like Craig said, you get your annual pass holder discount on that as well too. So yep. I mean that's a you know, so when you're getting into the larger family or more family members, not larger, I'm sorry, more family members, like Craig said, maybe that's an option for you too.
Yeah. So I still think this is better than any of the other swill that is served around.
Swill.
I'm being very harsh on it. There are good items here and there as you go about Islands of Adventure, but this is still, to me, the gem of quick service dining whenever you're at Islands. So I recommend it. I don't know what you guys think, but that's me.
Now I've thought about it, and I've really given it some thought. It probably is the best quick service. Well, it is. It's the best quick service you can get in the park in Islands of Adventure.
Yeah, there's definitely no other one that even gives it a run for its money
in
Islands of Adventure, for sure.
So, of course, if you leave the park, I would say go to Fast Food Boulevard, Leaky Cauldron, or all the way over to Cabana Bay to the Bayliner Diner. Those are my top three choices of other places to go eat. That's just me. But I hope you guys enjoyed our take on Three Broomsticks, especially getting some of the British background on it. I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Just me. Again, it's all just me. So thank you. Thank you guys for all of your great input on it. So that's going to wrap us up here. So of course, if you want to know more information, get links to some of the stuff we talked about today, or find out about our other shows on the Diz Unplugged Podcast Network, please head to DizUnplugged.com. That's the home of our show notes page and so much more. Everything out there that you'll need to do. Just if you want the Universal stuff specifically, you'll find the big blue box that says Universal Edition on it. That's where you'll find all of our crap that we put out there. And believe you me, it is crap. Also, you know, go ahead and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, subscribe to us on YouTube, all of our YouTube channels, as well as iTunes. Make sure you're doing that. Leave us the feedback and comments. So I made a resolution to myself, not a universal resolution. We'll have that at the end of the show. But I made a personal resolution to start getting better about reading and trying to comment, especially if it's a negative comment. I am more likely to jump on you and get you with my my powerful words that I'm much better at typing than speaking. But yeah, just go ahead and leave us all the feedback you can. Of course, if you like this show, you like this episode, go ahead and hit the thumbs up on the little thumbs up guy there below if you're watching this on YouTube right now. And yeah, just keep on keeping on. That's my Joe Dirt way to end it.
Keep on moving, gonna keep on grooving. That's my brain.
Oh, yeah, hey, we got the singing in. We got the singing in. So thank you guys again. Thank you to everyone out there who took the time to watch and listen to this. I hope you enjoyed it, got a little bit out of it. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Universal Edition of the Diz Unplugged. We won't be back with you next week because I'll be on vacation. But the week after that with our great Royal Pacific Resort stuff. Mm-hmm. So again, that's going to do it for this episode. And remember,
the resolution.
Oh, the resolution. Volcano Bay. The universe.